Welcome back to another episode of Too Much Pod Tar. As we got another one for you today, just a mini breakdown episode. Returning to the show is Jamie Gatlin. So, you know, welcome back again.
Hey, you know, we're getting closer. This is the best time of year.
For sure. For this one, we're getting excited for some potential breakout players. So we're going to actually be going down for each position, who we think is going to break out this season. Not go into too much detail, kind of just give some general things about them and what we think they can potentially do. So I guess we'll start with catcher and roll down, you know, throughout the infield and then go to the outfield and then give some pitchers as well, you know, starters and maybe some relievers.
He's got too much pine tar.
Sloppy jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And he's teaming back.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much pot tar.
way too much pot tar.
I'll start off with catcher. You know, just a couple days ago, we had our fantasy catching rankings. And we talked a lot about Gary Sanchez, who was my breakout pick for the catcher position. Last year, as I talked about on that show, last year he, you know, didn't have a great season. He struggled a lot and was ended up being benched in the playoffs. But like I said, I think he has some fire under him for this year, especially after Cashman gave him a little bit of roasting there. He kind of threw him under the bus and was saying that, you know, the reason, like, you needed to realize that's why you were benched is because you didn't have enough, you didn't put enough into it. He wasn't playing at a higher enough pace or given enough effort. So I think that was his main issue. And I think, you know, the front office now giving him a little bit of a jolt is going to do a lot of things for him. He's going to come out strong. And I think he could end up being potentially a comeback player of the year candidate at the end. So that's who I have. I kind of also have another guy, Alejandro Kirk of the Blue Jays. He made his debut last year. He actually didn't have that bad of a season. It was 9-for-24 in the at bats he had. So, you know, that was a .375 average. And he had a .918 OPS when he was in the minors. So I think, you know, that Blue Jays team is very solid now. They have a lot of guys in that lineup, so I think he could come up and produce. You know, their catchers they have now, Danny Jansen and I forget their other one, but they don't really have much offensive potential. I think Kirk has more potential on the offensive side, so I like him as a potential sleeper as far as fantasy goes. So those are my two catching breakouts.
I like those. I like the Sanchez one a lot. I went with Sean Murphy for mine. You know, the A's, they lost Semien, so this year might be a little harder for them, but, you know, they believe they have an all-star in Murphy. He led the A's last year in OPS, homers, you know, a lot of their offense categories, and he had .277 in September. You know, he's a guy that's been hyped up for a while, and I feel like next year he's going to show, you know, along with Chapman and Olsen, he's kind of the next guy to come out of that system and be a big part of the A's lineup for however long he's there. So I think Oakland fans should be very excited about what he can do, especially over the course of a full season.
Yeah, I like that one too. I think he can definitely do some damage this year. Move on to first base. I'm going to go with Andrew Vaughn of the White Sox. He's going to probably make his debut this year, and I don't think it'll be right away, but maybe by June, even earlier, maybe May. But he's probably going to be pushed back a little bit because of service time. So, but when he does make his debut, I think he's going to be a force in that lineup, another lineup that's really solid. You know, he's still got Abreu, who's going to be playing first mostly, but Vaughn, when he comes up, he can probably split time there. Also play DH. So he's one of the, when he got drafted back in 2019, he was drafted. He was one of the most MLB ready prospects at the time. He was pretty much ready right out of college. So he's been hyped up a lot in that White Sox farm system, and he's going to come out crushing, I believe.
I like that. That's a really good pick. I was actually watching some tape on him the other day. He hits absolute bombs. But for mine, I went, you know, I'm showing the Sox in love with this one. I'm going with Dahlbeck. He came up last year, and he had 8 home runs, I think, or he went on some absurd stretch in the first 2 weeks. So, you know, I expect a lot from him this year. He's going to get most of the at-bats at first. And, you know, he's basically the power guy in the Red Sox lineup. And I think he's going to be pushed this year, too, because the Sox have Tristan Cashes in AAA, who's the best first base prospect in baseball. So Dahlbeck's going to be highly motivated this year to prove that he's not going to have to switch positions. And I think, you know, he could be a guy that hits 20 homers for Boston. He's going to have to cut down the strikeouts because that was a big issue. But if he can do that, he could have a big year in 2021.
Yeah, I like that pick too. And then keeping it to the White Sox, actually, for second base, I'm going to go with Nick Madrigal. He actually did pretty solid last year, even in 29 games. Once he came up last year, he hit .340. You know, obviously small sample, but he also 7.45 OPS. So he was able to do some things there. Didn't have any home runs yet, but I think he's going to come out strong. As I said, with the White Sox lineup, they have a lot of good batters in there, so he definitely has a lot of the good chances to drive in runs, and yeah, I think he'll break out even farther than he did last year and keep up the pace there with the White Sox.
Yeah, I agree with that one too. Like, I feel like, you know, the White Sox are a really young, up and coming team. He's a guy that I loved watching last year. You know, he had .340 in 29 games, so he showed he could get on base, and I think he's just gonna get better, especially in the lineup that's, you know, deeper. And that White Sox team, I mean, they're going to be a lot of fun to watch over the next couple of years. He's going to be one of the guys leading that charge.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to watch them. So that was that your second base pick too?
Yeah, that was my second. That was okay. My second base pick.
Moving to third base, I'm going to go with Carter Kieboom of the Nationals. He was actually my rookie of the year pick last year, but he really struggled. He hasn't even played, you know, he's only played 44 games in the majors so far. You know, he played 33 last year, 11 2019. So I believe his rookie status, his rookie status was exceeded last year. So he doesn't have a chance to being in the running again, but I think he can break out this year. I think he's kind of just finding himself, and just, you know, the short season kind of was a struggle for him. So I think this year at the Nationals are going to be improved. They weren't that great last year. I think this year, even though the National League East is going to be a really, really tough division, I think the Nationals can bounce back and actually be in the running for that division. But Keboom would be a big piece if he can actually break out like I think he can. Because in the minors, he was doing great in the minors, and then just hasn't been able to really adjust to the majors yet. Because in 2019 in the minors, he slashed 303, 409, 493, had 16 home runs in 109 games at AAA. So I think he just has a little bit of a kind of growing pains getting up to the majors. But once he adjusts, I think he'll be solid. You know, he's still only 23 years old, so he's still got a lot to learn.
Yeah, I love him because of his name. That's a spaceful name right there. For Thread, though, I'm gonna give the Pirates some love and go with Key Brian Hayes. You know, last year when he came up, he played 24 games for the Pirates, and he hit 376. You know, which was a surprise because of the minors. He was regarded as one of the best defenders at third, and that was kind of his calling card. And you know, next year he doesn't. You know, he's not gonna hit 376. But you know, if he can show any type of the offensive production he showed last year, along with that defense, he's gonna be an exciting player to watch. You know, especially on a Pirates team that really committed to the rebuild, he could kind of be a star. And I feel like he could be one of the best players in the Central, which might kind of be a bold take. But Houston, I'm really excited to see play over the course of a full season.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I was actually thinking about him for third base as well. So he's definitely a guy I'm going to be looking forward to seeing. So shortstop now, I'm going to go with Wander Franco of the Rays. He'll be making his debut this season. And he's been playing pretty well at the Dominican Winter League so far. So I think he'll definitely come out hot in that race. You know, the Rays kind of, they fell off a little bit. They're going to fall off a little bit this year with some of the subtractions, but he'll be a big piece if they're going to be in the running for the AL East again. You know, they'll have the Blue Jays to contend with, but Franco is going to be a big piece. He's probably one of the favorites, obviously one of the favorites for Rookie of the Year. So I think he'll prove everyone right there. Let's see. Yeah.
He's a guy.
He was hitting like around 330 in the minor league. So.
Yep. He's a guy. I'm excited to see him next year.
Yeah.
But for short, I'm going to go with Alberto Mondesi. He was highly regarded in the minors, but in his last 22 games last year, he hit 376 with an OPS of 1.130. And, you know, he's going to be a big player for the Royals for years to come. And he's just an exciting guy to watch hit and field. I feel like he's going to be a face of, Kansas City baseball for the next couple of years. And probably one of the best players in baseball with, you know, his offense and his fielding.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, yeah. And like we were talking about before the show, the Royals could be sneaky good this year. And, you know, especially in that division, you know, the Twins are kind of so-so. Their pitching is going to be a huge question mark. They have the lineup. The lineup still needs, I think they need to get Nelson Cruz back, who's still out there on the free agent market. Just an update here. Of course, we recorded this before the news that the Twins were re-signing Nelson Cruz to a one-year deal. We recorded this, you know, Tuesday, afternoon before that dropped that night. So, yeah, like I said, that lineup was missing him, and I think that's a huge move for them to go out and get somebody like him to bring him back. You know, it's huge power potential that he has, and now at 41 years old, still gives them a lot. So I really like the move, and it really boosts the Twins' chances of winning the division again. You know, the White Sox will still be there. They're going to be up-and-coming team. So, and also the Twins also got Alex Colome just Wednesday night. So that's a big move as well. So they're going to try to use him as their closer and see how that works out. But I think that's a solid move for them as well. So that'll shore up their pitching a little bit. They definitely still need some starters, I believe. I think they should go out and get somebody. So yeah, that's just my thoughts on that. But, you know, as the podcast moved on, I did talk about the Indians a little bit right after this. I touched on them a little bit as well, and the whole division as a whole. So, but the Indians obviously traded off Lindor. Their pitching is still going to be okay. You know, even though they traded Carrasco in that trade, but they still have, you know, solid pitching. You know, Tristan McKenzie making his debut, who I'll actually talk about in a bit because he's my breakout. But other than that, the Royals can definitely be in the running if a lot of their young guys can perform. So
don't give up, Casey fans. Could be a very fun 2021.
Yeah. But let's move out to the outfield now. For left field, I'm gonna actually go with Andrew McCutchen to have a breakout year after coming out. You know, he was injured. You know, 2019, he had the torn ACL, and he was recovering at the beginning of 2020. So he was on the injured list to begin the year, I believe. No, I think actually once the season pushed back, he was actually able to return. So, yeah, he played in 57 games this past season out of the 60 total. And he wasn't terrible. You know, he still hit .253, .757 OPS, had 10 home runs in 217 at-bats. So it was actually a pretty solid year. But I think he can come back even better this year and return to, like, his other years where he was, like, one of the best players in the league, even when he was on the Pirates. And, you know, be a really big piece to that Phillies lineup. So, you know, the Phillies have, you know, they brought Realmuto back now, and they have Harper, who's a guy that I could see breaking out even farther this year. You know, people always like to say they, for some reason, just because he hasn't performed, just because Harper hasn't performed up to his, you know, really his contract or anything, he's not great, but he is great. He wasn't even that bad the last few years, but I think he can return to even MVP form this year. So I think the Phillies are sneaky good, or not, maybe not even sneaky, but they'll definitely be in the race with the Braves, Mets, and Nationals, and even the Marlins. I mean, Marlins made the playoffs last year, so you never know.
Who does Miami could surprise a little bit. But my first outfit, I'm going with Joe Adell. You know, he struggled last year. Actually, he was struggled pretty strongly, but, you know, he's one of the Angels, probably their best prospect since Trout. He was one of those guys that probably needed more minor league time last year. Yeah. But, you know, obviously with COVID, the only place he was going to get reps was the majors. So I feel like he's going to come into camp and win that job back, you know, and use the lessons he learned last year and kind of just have a big year along Trout and, you know, kind of surprise people. I think if he has the year he's supposed to, and as the project, you know, shows he can be the prospect he's projected to be alongside of Trout and Rendon, that's going to be a lineup that not a lot of pitchers want to face.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to see him, and hopefully as we always talk about, you know, hopefully the Angels could actually do some, like, actually do good and then not give Trout a chance to, you know, make the playoffs again.
He's not asking for a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they got Alex Cobb, which is, it's something, but he's not like, it's not like he's going to put them over the edge either.
Yeah, no, when I saw that, I was like, it's nice, you know, a nice depth move, but other than that.
Yeah, because they still have, like, what else do they even have? They have, well, they have Ohtani, which is, I still kind of question if he should even be a pitcher at this point, because he keeps getting injured.
Yeah.
But, and then they have, they still have Dylan Bundy, who was a pretty good pitcher last year. I can't think of who else they even have. I know they have, who's that young guy they have? I forget his name.
I'm trying. That's a good question.
Shit. I know they have some guys there, but they're all kind of names in there. They're all pretty much question marks. And you don't know if, you know, Bundy had a good year last year, but you don't know if what he can do to maintain that.
I mean, I feel like that's the thing with the Angels. You know, they've always had a decent lineup, and then you had Rendon to the mix last year, but the pitching has always been, you know, a question mark.
Of course, the whole thing yesterday too with the what's his name?
With Callaway.
With Callaway, with the whole shit there. And it's weird, like, as a recording, they still haven't announced that they, like, anything about him. Like, they should have fired him by now, and they still haven't done anything.
Yeah. I mean, just that whole situation is sad. It's not a good thing for baseball.
Yeah, that's a topic for another pod. We're going to actually go over that in a couple pods from now, but... Yeah, it's not a good situation. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping the Angels. I want the Angels to get Bauer, because that would really give them something.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I feel like kind of every year we're waiting for them to make that type of move. So I mean, I feel like if they add Bauer, you know, they're a playoff team. I would, you know, I feel like if they do that, I would be very surprised to not see the Angels in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They need that kind of one stud pitcher to go along with Trout to lead them there.
Oh, yeah. But moving on to my other outfield breakout, I'm going to go Dylan Carlson of the Cardinals. And they were lucky to be able to keep a hold of him. You know, even though they traded for Arenado, they didn't have to give him up, which was very surprising and very much Rockies-esque that they didn't give up anything really. And they also got $50 million from the Rockies. So we talked about that on that show a couple days ago with that trade and how stupid the Rockies are for that, but. On Carlson, he didn't have a great season last year. He only hit 200 in 35 games, and did have three home runs. I think he still needed a little bit more seasoning in the minors. So he was another guy with like Adell who didn't get that opportunity, of course, and just needed to get the reps and got the reps in the major league level. So I think this year he'll be better, and Cardinals are definitely at this point favorites in that division. He's definitely gonna get a shot though, and I think he'll prove why they wanted to keep him and not give him up.
Yeah. My other outfielder, this is my mate, some Red Sox fans, a little mad, but I'm going to go with Andrew Benintendi for it. you know, last year he was probably one of the worst players in the majors. But, you know, he only played in 13 games, but he hit like 0.1 something. And kind of the last year and a half, even going back to 2019, that second half he struggled too. But, you know, a lot of the reports coming out of camp are that, or, you know, from people that see him so far, is that he's dropped, you know, that weight that he tried to bulk up on a couple years ago to get more power. I just think this year, you know, you're going to see the guy that the Red Sox drafted with that smooth swing that gets on base. And I think, you know, it's just going to be a big year for him to reestablish his value, especially with, you know, JBJ probably leaving in free agency. The Sox are going to need Benintendi to kind of be the player he was expected to be. So I think it's going to be a big year for him.
Yeah, I like that. You know, the thing with the Red Sox, they still have a solid lineup. They're just the pitching is going to be what the main thing that does them in.
Yeah, I mean, I like the rich some of the signings they've had, but you know, Richards is a good signing, but yeah, they're not like aces. And you know, Eddie had sailed in a pitch last year, so there's a good amount of risk in that rotation right now.
Yeah. My third outfielder is, I'm going to go with actually another Red Sox, Hunter Renfro, who he was on the Rays last year. He's been really struggling the last few years, actually. But I think he's a guy, you know, just kind of needs a change of, you know, change of scenery maybe. He was really good, you know, coming on when he was on the Padres the first couple years. He was pretty solid, 26 home runs each of his first 2 years, 33 in 2019. But once he went over to the Rays last year, he just kind of fell off, 156 average. Did have 8 home runs. So I think, you know, maybe going to Boston is going to help, but you know, in the middle of a pretty solid lineup at this point. And I don't know what kind of place he's going to have. Maybe probably just coming off the bench. Or maybe DH sometimes. But I don't know what your thoughts are on him, where he's going to fit.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good fourth outfielder. You know, I think he's going to love using the Green Monster.
Yeah.
I think that's going to play a lot to his strengths. You know, he's good insurance. You know, like I said, the outfield's a little uncertain with JBJ probably leaving. So he's a nice power bat that, if he can get back to what he was a couple years ago, could look like a steal for Bloom there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he definitely will take advantage of the monster, for sure. I think that can help him get some more home runs. Yeah, he's definitely always a good power potential guy. Yeah, because he had 8 home runs and just 122 at bats last year, so that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I think Corey's gonna love having him off the bench.
Yeah.
Well, my third outfielder, I'm probably gonna butcher your name, so I apologize. Yoshitomo Tsuglo. You know, he came to the Rays last year with high expectations because the Rays usually aren't, you know, a team that dabbles in the Japanese market, and he really struggled. But, you know, he showed signs more towards the end of the season of that player that, you know, the Rays gave $12 million to. And especially with some of the trades they made, he's going to get more playing time. And the Rays are going to need that offense to really, you know, step up with Snell not there anymore, Morton not there anymore. And I think he could have a big year, you know, reset those expectations he had a year ago.
Yeah, I can see that one too. Yeah, because I thought he was gonna be really good when they first signed him. But I think, you know, just kind of growing pains for him. Once he adjusts, I think he'll be definitely good. But yeah, let's move to pitching now. One of mine is Tristan McKenzie of the Indians. Now, as I mentioned before, you know, they don't have much on their team now as far as hitting goes, but pitching is still a strength. No matter who they throw out there, they seem to do good. You know, they don't have Carrasco, and then McKenzie is rookie eligible this year. So he's a guy I could see in the rookie of the year race. Last year he came up, he pitched in 8 games, 6 of them were starts, and struck out 42 over 33 in a third innings. So that's not only walked 9. So he's going to break out farther this year. I could just see it now. It's just, you know, as far, just like I said, and all Indians pitchers seem to just do good. They just have such a good system there with their pitchers.
I like that. I like that one a lot. But he's definitely give Cleveland, you know, something to watch this year. So my first one is Nate Pearson from Toronto. He's a guy, you know, he came up with a lot of hype last year, but then he got hurt after struggling his first 5 starts. But he came back in the playoffs and had just a dominant 2-inning relief performance in his only, his only innings. But, you know, I feel like he's a guy that Toronto is rich with young talent. You know, with Vladdy Jr., with Biggio, Bouchette, and then they add some more people in free agency. But I feel like Pearson, he could really lead that rotation. He's going to be fun to watch. I mean, you know, he throws 100 miles per hour. He has a great slider, and he could, you know, terrorize teams in the AL East and the league for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I like that one too. That's another solid one. I'm going to go for another one. I'm going with Jameson Taillon, the Yankees' new pitcher. You know, coming off of those couple of Tommy Johns, and, you know, he hasn't been able to be healthy for a while. I think he'll come back. And obviously, the Yankees, when they traded for him, they made sure he was going to be healthy. They made sure he was up to par with everything, because they have a great, you know, Eric Cressy is a guy that actually worked with him before, I believe. So same with Corey Kluber. But I guess both of them are kind of breakout picks for me, because I think both of them are going to be strong in that rotation. I think it's a low risk, high reward kind of a move, because they didn't really give up much for Taillon. They gave up a little, kind of lower prospects. Yeah, so it's definitely, if it works out, it's going to be huge. But they didn't, even if it doesn't, even if he just hits his floor is still going to be, his floor when healthy is still really good, I think. So I'm excited to see what he can do, and he's definitely ready to, you know, bounce back and after being out.
Yeah, he's a guy. I mean, you know, when he's been healthy with the Pirates, he was a really good pitcher. So I'm excited for him in New York. But I'm gonna head out west with my next one and give Zach Gallen some love. He finished 9th in the NL Cy Young voting last year, but he probably should have been higher. Because if you take out 2 of his starts, so he finished with 2.75 ERA. But if you take out 2 starts, which he gave up a total of 8 runs last year, his ERA would have been 1.77. He's someone that, you know, I love watching pitch. You know, he's going to lead that Arizona rotation, but he showed last year that he could be a top rotation arm. And, you know, if you took out those 2 starts, he was probably finishes higher than 9th. And his name is definitely talked about a lot more, so I think he's just going to continue to climb this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do. I was looking at him as last year even. Thought he was going to do some better things, but I can definitely see him break out more this year. That's the only 2 guys I had for starters, so I don't know if you had any more.
No, those are the only 2 I had for starters.
All right. Do you have any? I don't know if you have. Do you have any relievers or no?
I had one reliever.
right. Yeah, you go ahead with that. I didn't look into that. So.
So for mine, I put Darwinson Hernandez. He's a guy for Boston last year. He had a high strikeout rate in the minors. I actually saw him pitch his first start, and he can be really annoying sometimes because, you know, the start I saw, he struck out 6 of his first batters. But in between that, he walked every other batter. So, you know, he's a guy with high strikeout stuff that can get guys out that just needs to work on his control. And I really think that he's going to do that in 2021. He showed some signs of that last year. And he can blow hitters away when he controls his stuff. So I think you could, you know, he's going to get a high role in the Sox bullpen this year, probably the 7th or 8th inning role, depending on how he handles it. But he could be a high leverage arm by the end of the season. And I think he's just going to be a stud in the back of the Sox bullpen.
Yeah, that's, I like that. And then they definitely need guys there for their pitching. So it's going to help a lot if somebody like that can break out. So, but I think that's all we have for here for our breakout picks. So as always, thank you for listening, and reach out for, you know, comment any of your breakouts for this year. If you want to throw in any names, I'm always interested in seeing what other people think, who's going to break out. It's always fun to look into. And, you know, it's always such a crapshoot, though, because you never know who's going to do what. And it's going to be a lot of the times, lots of guys that break out are guys we never even thought of. So that's how it goes with sports, baseball, just anything. So you just never know.
But, exactly. After that first month, there's going to be like 5 guys we didn't even mention that probably hitting 300 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, as always, thank you for listening to the pod. Continue listening to these episodes. And just a reminder, you can never have too much pod tar. Your daily daily dose of pod.
Oh, yeah.
Peace out. Get Mike Trout some help, damn it.
Yeah, give him whatever Trout he wants, you know?
Yeah, literally, you should just turn them to LeBron and be like, tell them what they need. What, like, literally, be like, if Trout says, "Oh, we need to get 5 starters," then you go and do whatever you can to get it.
No, that's, you know, you got to just get him 1 postseason win at this point.
Yeah.
We gon' give them hell when I put that on my mama. Me and Trippy Red Bull and back in the Bahamas. Baby, come and have a blast with